This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
When is a kilogram not a kilogram? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Is it possible that the outgoing Republican Congress will try to let the federal government borrow more? Or will it be incoming the Democratic House and Republican Senate that has to deal with the debt ceiling, which reappears this winter? How much money the feds borrow now affects both future generations and interest rates now? On Fridays, we consult Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hi there.
Hey, David. How are you?
I hadn't remembered this till you raised my consciousness. The U.S. borrowing of money will reach a statutory limit, and Congress has got some decisions to make.
One of the reasons we haven't been talking about the debt ceiling is that when the tax cut passed last year, they suspended it. So technically, there is no debt ceiling at the moment, but it is going to be reimposed at whatever level the debt happens to be in March. So we've got just a few months to raise the debt ceiling again, or we get to have one of those government shutdown worry fests that we used to look forward to every year.
In a brief moment of context, right, Chris? I mean, we are borrowing a lot of money because we're spending a lot. And if you hit the debt ceiling and can't pay, you have a credit rating problem.
It's a big deal at the moment. The deficit is big enough that quarterly bond auctions by the Treasury now are causing interest rates to rise. You know, we're seeing rates rise before the auctions and then subside afterwards. That's a pattern I haven't seen since the early 1990s, when we also had a pretty big deficit that had to be financed in these quarterly auctions.
Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, thank you.
You're welcome, David.
A key benchmark for 10-year U.S. interest rates is down this morning at 3.09%. A final vote in Congress on the Farm Bill is due in a couple weeks. It's a massive piece of legislation that subsidizes farmers, allocates food stamps, and if you look carefully in at least the Senate version, decriminalizes hemp. Right now, hemp, the ropey stuff, is lumped together with marijuana, which is illegal under federal law. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
You might see hemp advertised in shampoos and clothes, but that hemp is probably from other countries because U.S. farmers can only grow limited amounts as part of state pilot programs. That'll change if the final version of the Farm Bill legalizes hemp.
It's really going to open up a lot of doors.
Farmer Erica Stark heads the National Hemp Association. She says hemp can be used for
auto parts, textiles. The hemp fiber can be used to reinforce concrete.
If hemp were decriminalized, Stark would be eligible for federal crop insurance and could use a bank for hemp business. But it's not clear if the hemp legislation would cover the compound CBD, which can be extracted from hemp and used as a painkiller. Spencer Perlman is with Veda Partners.
There is going to be some level of uncertainty that could have somewhat of a chilling effect.
So he says don't expect to see loads of new legal CBD products if the Farm Bill passes. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Japan Airlines is going to start using breathalyzers at international airports on the pilots. A Japan Airlines pilot was arrested at London's Heathrow Airport last month for being 9 times over the legal limit.
I'm Shepard from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I listen to Marketplace several times, actually, every day, because it's got the economic news and developments that are important to me. I donate to Marketplace so that it can be available to everyone, and I sure hope you'll join me in this effort. Thanks.
To join Shepard as a Marketplace investor, donate online at marketplace.org.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure?
At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Ever looked down at the bathroom scale and said, no way, that is baloney? Well, maybe it was, just a little. This morning, the International Bureau of Weights and Measures has voted to change the way we define a kilogram. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports on why and what this change is.
For an economy to function, you've got to have weights you can trust. Everyone has to be on the same page when it comes to how much gold to trade your cow for. For more than a century, the world has agreed that the mass of a kilogram is defined by a precisely cast slug of metal in France. All masses get compared against that one mass, but there's a flaw in the system.
Though it's kept in a vault in bell jars, it still manages to pick up material from the atmosphere. And so we never really know what its value is.
John Pratt is with the National Institute of Standards and Technology. That's the U.S.'s authority on weights and measures. He says measurements should be based on consistent universal principles. The kilogram is the last of seven standards to make this kind of change. The meter and the second have already been redefined. The new kilogram will be determined using the frequency of an atom of cesium, the speed of light, and Planck's constant, which is
6.6. And I can't look at my tattoo to get you the right number.
Wait, did you say tattoo?
Yeah.
You have Planck's constant tattooed on you?
He does. He and his teammates got them last year after they figured out a super precise calculation of Planck's constant. Now they get to be part of the kilogram's redefinition. As for how much the kilogram is actually changing, it's practically infinitesimal. Still, it'll be a lot of paperwork, as pretty much any industry that relies on weight and density will have to recertify their measurements. Think pharmaceuticals, food, any kind of manufacturing. For some, though, it's even more significant.
Hi! Nice to meet you.
Julia Greer builds nanoscale structures at Caltech.
Here, let me put something in your hand, actually. You're going to be very surprised.
She pulls out something that looks like a mesh sponge made out of nickel. I mean, I knew it was going to be light, but...
Oh, my God.
So it weighs nothing. So this was the world's lightest material for about 3 weeks.
That's when another team came along with something even lighter. When you work on things as small as a few millionths of a meter with super small densities, any change in the standard kilogram is going to be more significant.
That redefinition is going to shift it ever so slightly, which is going to affect a lot of different parameters from battery performance to electric fields and magnetic fields, etc.
The upside is that this is the last time such a reorganization will have to happen. And in fact, John Pratt, the Planck's constant tattoo guy, says they're working to develop a tabletop version of their balance so that someday any business will be able to say without a doubt how much one of their products weighs. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.